Achav, this is going to be the last shiur for the Zman. It's a work in progress, just like us. Work in progress. We shall have long, healthy years to continue learning together, Be'ez Hashem. The sugi, of course, is Yesodius, the meat of Yesod, his kashrus. And we're talking about, in learning this kuntras, Yesodius, Ba'avadus Hashem, we're talking about how this meat of Yesod, this mid of Yesod, the avoda of Yesodius, Tikkun HaBris, how this takes place on three levels, in the three worlds of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Space, physical place, Olam, Shana, time, and Nefesh, the soul. So the past two shiurim, the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about Mokum, about Olam. Kviyas Mokum. And there's much, much more to talk about that. Again, I'm trying to stick to the countries and not to go to all other svarim and all other places to keep it very simple and clear. So we're talking about Kviyas Mokum as a tremendous part of Tikkun HaBris in the Midah of Yesod, to be a person that has a Mokum Kavua. Shul, we didn't even go really into detail what it means to have a Mokum Kavua in your own house. I'm not talking about for davening or for letting me discuss that. But a kviyas makom with a wife, a kviyas makom with the kids, a place where a person is at that place, when he's able to be at that place, and reliable, and so on and so forth, we're not going to go into more right now. His kashrus to a place of tefillah, a place of Torah, a place with family, and so on. Today we're going to be talking about shana, about time. The midah of Yesod in that domain of zman, of time. So let's learn. In the old one, it's Samach Zayin. I don't know what the tzaddik. So it's either Samach Zayin if you have the old one, or tzaddik if you the new edition. His kashrus el hazman. Zman nakat. Kamoichain. Matzina was kashrus el zman. Now the Mechaber here is beginning with an example from the world of the yeshiva. He's in that world, yeshiva and kollel, but it applies to everything and all of us. He says kishinas odom lasa seida bezmani hayayim. Say a person has the schus to be learning all day, or he has a big part of the day that he's able to learn, like many of our brothers in Eretz Yisrael. So he sits down with a choshev, a mechanech, some educator, some rabbi. So this rabbi suggests to him, this mechanech is helping to develop a program for this person, develop a schedule, a program. So he says, he suggests to him to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, b'shach hamesh, v'yitbol b'mikveh, chassid shagai. So, go to the mikveh. Kshiyadayin reka. The best time to go to the mikveh is when there's nobody else there, right? Nobody's serving drinks. No conversations. Go to the mikveh. No noise. No talking. Toivel in out. It's the best time when the mikveh is empty. V'yilmodad shah sheva. What could be better than that? You go to the mikveh. It's a mechaya, and then you sit. And you learn for 2 hours. At that time, it's usually pretty quiet, that time of the day. You learn for a couple of hours. Then you daven. Then it's already, after davening, it's already 8 o'clock. So this guy already put in mikveh, 2 hours of the, 2 hours of learning, and davening. And it's 8 o'clock. That's 8 o'clock. Which has been a lot of time when there people are just like, rubbing their eyes and looking out the window and waving goodbye to the wife who's in charge of carpool. Right? This is 8 o'clock. Umaschal yom b'shal shmona v'chetzi. I guess he has something to eat. So it's 8:30. V'loymed ad shah echad v'chetzi. And he learns till 1:30. V'zayil yom aruch she'efshal ahaspik b'harbe. So it's 1:30, and he's already put in a good solid amount of time in kedusha, And he still has time if he needs to take care of other things. Again, this is more of an Eretz Yisrael schedule, obviously. And if the person sticks to this type of a schedule, so on his own, over some time, he'll be able to wake up on his own. He'll be able to be fine. 5 o'clock will no longer seem like some scary time. He'll be fine. And it becomes a kvius in his life that 5 o'clock is the beginning of the day. 7 o'clock is davening. And he'll feel very mukusha to that seder of 8:30 till 1:30. He'll feel very mukusha to that seder. That no matter what it is, unless chalila something is obviously an emergency, but if there's anything short of an emergency, that time from 5 o'clock in the morning till 1:30, based upon this type of a lifestyle, that's the Zman, that's Kedusha. Afterwards, whatever it is, working some things, doing other things, whatever he needs to, taking care of the kids, whatever. Havel im ein lo midas iskashus. So if it's a person who is weak in this midah iskashus of Yisod, there's a weakness. Harishav shekvar hikesh yesh ha-mailas ha-gedalus shebesei liyom chazak. Even though he's already learned, and he's thought about this, and he agrees that is a Yom Chazak. What we just described, what he just described this day, it's a Yom Chazak. It's a Gevaldige day. And this person who is weak in Yesod likes this idea. It's a Yom Chazak. It's a strong day. He thinks it would be great. He would love for his kid to live that way. And he would love to see his grandchildren and great-grandchildren going that way because it makes a lot of sense. It's healthy. It's good. The problem, though, is even though he sees Vahara Ravachim Gedolim Shiesh Lamizah, he sees that there's tremendous benefit. I was talking recently to a person who has been getting up for the last, I don't know, since he's a kid, so it's like the last 40 years or something. He's been getting up and davening always like at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And because of a certain change in his parnasa, whatever, he has to get up now at like 5:30. He has to daven the early minyan. He skipped at 5:30 because of something with Parnassus. And he was telling me, like, wow, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, he finds that there's certain things that he wasn't able to accomplish and different things that he's able to get done now that he wasn't, because his whole life he's getting up, davening someplace at, you know, at 8:30, 9 o'clock or later. So there are these non-Yesod types that agree theoretically with this type of a schedule. Because if you live that way, in other words, if you have a kvius in time that your day begins at 5 o'clock in the morning, that means that you're obviously going to have a night that is tighter. You're not going to be one of these guys that's just sitting around doing nothing at like 12:30 in the morning. Or like playing solitaire with your computer. I heard of this. Somebody told me they did. So a wife told me that the husband sits around. So I was thinking to myself, halavai, that he's playing solitaire. I don't know. Halavai. If the daven that he's playing solitaire, she's naive. She believes that. He is solitaire. I don't know if he's playing solitaire. So I'm not sure who his partner is on the computer, but halavai. But when you have a 5 o'clock in the wake up, you get to bed. You know you have to get to bed, or else you're not going to function. The non-Yesod person, they like to call themselves, they like to say, you know, I'm a night person. That's always one of the strongest simanim of Pagam Habris. I'm just saying straight. The night person. Doesn't mean always, and I'm sure some of you are night people. Doesn't mean always. Doesn't mean dafka like that. There's a very strong nitiyah, because the night is not tight. The night just like it just goes. It goes. So if you don't have a time of getting to sleep by a good hour, by good times, that you'll be able to be five in the morning, you're not going to go to bed at 2:30 in the morning. doing nothing for 3-4 hours, because most people, even the ones that call themselves night people, if they put in a full day work, they're tired. And they're not being particularly productive at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. They're not being particularly productive. They might think that they are because they're awake, but they're not at the top of their game. Because if they work the whole day and they've been busy, they usually run down by that time. So a lot of the night people just dray around. 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock, they're just not letting go of the day. So what happens is when you have a schedule of Hashkama, which is clearly the preferred mahalach of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Ari HaKadosh, the great Mekubalim and Tzaddikim in many places in Chazal, of Yizgabek Ari, to be Mo'era the Shachar, Aira Shachar, to wake up, not that the dawn wakes you up, but you wake the dawn up. Aira Shachar means you wake up the dawn. Not that you wait for it to wake you up. You're up by dawn, early. There's definitely a preference, even though you'll find places in Chazal that speak about the Chutz Shel Chesed, that learning Torah at night is a very gewaldige thing, learning Torah at night. They weren't talking about 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. They were talking about getting up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. That's what they were talking about. And going to sleep at 10 o'clock and getting up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. That was the kind of schedule that was kept. There were practical reasons also, obviously, in the old days, because at night you couldn't see much and it was dark. And it's hard to, with candles, it's much harder. Now it's obviously a different world that we're living in. But this is still the same. A person who has a zman of getting up early in the morning, at night he's not going to waste his time. The likelihood is at night, it's not only that he's going to go to bed by a decent hour, but since he has to get to bed by a certain time, he'll take care of what he has to take care of in the time that he needs to get taken care of, as opposed to thinking, no, I have time. You know, I can do this at 12:30, I can do this at 1 o'clock in the morning, I can get to this email, I can get to these emails at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like an open-ended day. When your day is open-ended, it's very dangerous. On many, many levels, it's very dangerous. The person that knows that he's supposed to get to sleep by a certain time, why? Because he has a 5 o'clock meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the mikveh, whatever his day, however his day begins, he has that 5 o'clock morning, that he's on that, or 5, whatever works for you, but he has that morning. That means that even at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, he's getting things done. He's doing what he has to. 6, 7, 8, 9, he's also doing what he has to. Because the so-called night person often just doesn't do what he has to. Because it's open-ended. So I'll get to it. When are you going to get to it? Now, if you're going to bed in an hour, it means you have to get to it. You know, that's just how... And there are people that they won't do it until they have to get to it. Same way they won't study until it comes to the, you know, hour before the final. They're not going to study. So if you have that kind of an open-ended day where there's no clear time of how it ends, the likelihood is that you're not going to be getting done what needs to get done at 7, 8, 9 o'clock either. It's just not getting done. Eif shalavazves has man b'leilas. But if you have a 5 o'clock hashkama, l'mashal, a 5 o'clock hashkama, you can't waste the time at night. Because you know that you have to be in bed. You can't waste that. You can't be mevazves this man. So let's say a person reads about this, he's learning this now, we're learning this right now, and you're thinking that you could understand that there are benefits to such a life, and you also have a midah in your chesed, in your gevura, everything is gevaldik, and you love this idea that we're learning, that we're just learning now, you love this idea of there being Seder, and you don't want the Seder to get messed up. Nevertheless, the person who's weak in Yesod, even though he likes all of this, and he says, you know, I'm going to do this, it doesn't last. This Seder is not going to last for a long time. It's not going to last. Yom Echad Yisar B'Shal Sheva. What happens is, one day, you know, it's always, I had a rough, yesterday was a rough day, had to be up late for this, whatever it is. It comes that morning he couldn't do his 5 o'clock thing, so he gets up at 7. We'll be on Sha'achrov the next day, B'Shah Teisha, then he's back to his regular life. It's 7 o'clock, and then it's 9 o'clock. Upam Yikra Kriyash Mushal Shachris Aid Mimitoso. Oi, what am I going to do? You have people, they live like that, especially Bochum, they live like that. Like being in bed for the Zman Kriyash Mushal Shachris. And they have to wash their hands and say Kriyashma, and then they go back to sleep. You know, there's such a thing, people do that. That they go back, even after they wake up, they still go back to sleep. Until the day actually really begins, it's 12 o'clock. Because they're getting up and they're going back to bed. And davening is saying brachas, but then going after brachas, and they're not saying the whole davening. We have people that are walking with the siddur, going to a later minyan, walking with the siddur in the street, trying to daven. All of this, these are all on haggis of Pagam Habriz, of Kilkul and the Mida of Yesod, that way of life, that way of life. So this person has chesed, gvura, teferis, netzach, chayit, he's gevaldik. He's a great guy. The only thing that's not strong is the midah of yesod. So he has all of the right ingredients, but he's missing his kashrus. So that means with all of his strengths and all of his talents, he is not makusha to what he himself wants to be makusha to. He's lacking in his kashrus. And he looks at his life, 30, 40, 50, 60 years go by, and what's chabach kapit? What did I do? What did I get? What did I accomplish in my life? Even though he has all of the best ingredients, he is the most wonderful. He has ahavas Hashem and yiras Hashem, all the midas. He's an ish emes. Everything he has, but it's not with his kashrus, not to a place, not to a time, and then it comes down to a person, to people, beginning with himself and who he is, which is what we're going to get to at the end. Not this man, but that's what we're going to pick up with the Inyan of Yosef et Tzadik, of Kedushas HaBris, Bris Mila. Rak mi sheyesh lo midas hiskashus yelo davar zeh lekever. Only a person who has a midah of hiskashus, he's going to live this life in a way of keva, in a way that's kavur. Yesh ben odom shesedi yom kol kach yatsiv v'chazak. There are some people who have a seder of the day that is so strong, it's so solid. It sounds strange to us, but there are people who get up every morning at 2 o'clock. That's when they get up for the day, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Or Arba, 4. Without any chachmas, yom archa yom. That's how they live, day after day. Yom archa yom. And how are they able to do that? You can look at this person, he's older than you. He's got more medical issues than you. So how come this guy is able to get up every single day at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock? He's 30, 40 years older than you. How is he able to... You go to shuls. I grew up... Whenever I walked into shul, I would go to shul where I was... There was always the table of old men that was there before me. Of old people. And they were there before. They were there earlier. There's a certain hiskashvas that they had, and these are people that have much more reason to stay in bed, and have all kinds of pains and problems and so on. It's not that. It's a matter of hiskashvas. U'mishalo koshel in yinze, so gam b'midas hayesod. And if you are not mekusher in this way with time, then it's a pagam in this midah of yesod. And that's going on with the kids and the yeshivas. And chassidim, it's unbelievable, this problem in zman, in time. Eventually it comes out in different ways. In the olam, shana, and very often for this chevra, they only begin to pay attention to it when the wife says, I've had it with you. I'm done with you. Because it plays out in nefesh as well. Inconsistencies. Not to be a reliable husband. To be reliable. To take care of what you're supposed to be taking care of. Inconsistent. Unreliable. Not masudr. Not someone who a wife can count on. So it eventually comes out in nefesh. In nefesh. And then in the world of Tumah, that's the next part of what we're going to be talking about. In the world of Tumah, where the eyes are wandering, and the heart is wandering, and then the feet at some point start to wander also. Hashem Yirachem. It's the whole picture of Pgam and Midah of Yesod. Being somebody who is unreliable in terms of Olam and Shanas, place and time, it has to come out in nefesh. Just daven that you're only hurting yourself, not hurting your wife and kids. But it has to come out in nefesh. Always comes out in nefesh. Because hiskashus means relationships. The meat of yisod is a relationship. The person that lives without zman, without makam, he's also living it. Very often he's living an extremely lonely life. Because he's not makushit to people the right way either. That doesn't mean he doesn't go to parties. That doesn't mean he ever misses a kiddush. You understand? If he ever misses a chasen or a bris, he loves those things. This person who's pagim in yisod, he loves parties. Why does he love parties? What's so great about a party? What is it that's great about a party?
He doesn't have to
think about himself. No. You think that you're not by yourself, because in mitzias, you're with 100 other people. Or you're 250, 300, 400 people. You think you're not by yourself. But the advantage for this person is, what's gewaldic for him, is that he doesn't have to be miskasha to anyone at the chasn. You understand? He's just yelling above the music. It's just talking to somebody. It's chapping somebody. It's, hey, what's up? It's a party. It's just the kiddush. Shuls have now become places for socializing. I mean, now, this has been going on for a while. Chazal already spoke about this. A shul is a place to socialize. And now COVID has given the opportunity for people to actually just come out like from the closet and say, yeah, I guess it's just really socialized, but we also don't want to feel that we're not Orthodox, so we'll say a couple of things, but the main, let's get back to the program. It's a place to socialize. So these people who are weak in the midah of Yesod, they love going to chasnas, they love going to every kiddush, they'll go to different events, they don't want to be alone. They don't want to be alone. It's hard for them to be alone. It's hard for them to sit with one person, to sit with a wife for a couple of hours. It's hard to sit with the kids and be makusha. They like being busy, doing, coming, going, stuff happening, big things going on. Alles of a unhiskashes, without hiskashes. Without a kesha. That's why I've been saying this. Let's go. We're having every Friday night to have an oneg, and we're having this thing and this event and that event. Anything just not to be in one place at a certain time. Anything, but not with the hiskashes. At parties, there's no hiskashes. There's no hiskashes to anybody. It's nothing. It's just stam. Shmuzin. There's no hiskashes. Davening in this shul, going to this place, going to a shia, hopping here, going there. It's nice. It's exciting. But it's a sign of lack of hiskashes, and usually comes with a deep, deep hole inside of loneliness. A terrible hole of loneliness. If you've ever studied the sugya of addictions, either to drinking, to narcotics, or to pornography, if you've studied that sugya, it's always that terrible hole, that terrible emptiness. There was a tzaddik who was in this war of changing his life from this inyan of an addiction, and he was describing to me the other day this horrible hole that he's felt all of his life. And he just has to find things to do, and it ended up in things that are terribly destructive. And until his wife told him, she's leaving him. She said, that's it. She found something else. She found something else on his phone. She said that that's it. I'm done. I tried to stay married to you. I tried to make this work. And the guy swears to her, I love you. I can't live without you. And he means it. But she knows that that's not true. Now, it is true. And I spend a lot of my time telling these women that it is true. He does love you. He really cannot live without you. But he does not know how to be miskasha to you. He doesn't know how to do that. And he could be helped. He's a good guy. He loves you. Every week I have at least one conversation with a woman about this Indian. About I'm leaving. I had it. I said, he loves you. Yeah, he loves me. Then how come he looked at this? How come he went there? He can't live without. He can't live without me. He doesn't know what to do. It's a sickness. So then you have the drinking, you have the drugs, you have the filth, and they make it can't be makusha to. And you tell the guy, what's the matter? You have a wonderful wife. She's lovely. She's smart. She's religious. You have beautiful kids. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? And he'll say, I know. This guy was telling me the other day, I have the best wife in the world. So I said, so then, hang out with her. Hello. Adarabba. You have the best wife in the world. A lot of people don't have that. So you have the best wife in the world. So no. Yeah, sure. It's not enough to say so no. It's a sickness. It's a pgam habris.
Rebbe, do you think that the loneliness is also many times accompanied by pain that's unresolved, like past traumas, or just the pain of life that's never been dealt with?
A lot of these chevra never ever dealt with some serious either trauma or especially a father that was not makusha without his kashus. Or seeing parents that didn't have a yesod between them. Growing up in a house where parents are divorced, growing up in a house where the parents don't have a kid, kids are very, very smart. And even the ones that don't get hundreds or fifties even, but they're able to pick up like the vibe in the house. And when the kid grows up without his kashrus between parents, even if they treat each other decently, they're like nice to each other. It's not war, it's not divorce. But if they grow up without seeing a hiskashus between a husband and a wife, where the kid could feel that my parents are mamish, keshanafshi, strong, all of this has an effect on a kid. And it goes, you take it with you your whole life. And there are things that can be done to help. You have to first recognize it's a problem. And there are things that one can do. But it's catching up. It's catching up. And there's a terrible, terrible loneliness, and they don't know how to get over that loneliness. Even though, why would you be lonely? You have a wife. You have kids. You have a nice house. You have your svarim. You have a shul. You have a rebbe. What's the matter? Like, what is it? Why do you have to go on? What are you looking at that stuff? What's wrong with you? Such a deep sugya. I've been learning about this now over the years, because just dealing with the chevra and talking to therapists and trying to understand, because they're great people. Fakir, they see many of these chevra are the deepest people, the most spiritual people, because the more spiritual you are, the more you feel the whole. You understand? When you're not such a ruchnistic person, so you just lose yourself in the gashmias. But when you're a spiritual person, you feel that hole, that emptiness, and then you just go crazy trying to fill it. And there are so many of the kids that are getting married with this handicap. they're going under the chuppah. So the divorces are happening faster than ever before. Like they're going in a car wash in with the wedding gown. They come out with a get. It's crazy. And since the main nisayin of a girl, of a woman, is not yisod, the mid of yisod is primarily a male mid. Of course, women have yisod as well. It's one of the 10 spheres. But it's not the same thing. It's very, very different with a male. The mid of yisod is the makom habris. It's essentially a male characteristic. Hers is malchus. It's a different kind of loneliness. She's lonely for a guy. He's lonely for whatever. It's a huge difference. She's lonely for her husband. And when her husband is with her, when her husband's there for her, she's fine. That's not the same thing with a guy. He's lonely for whatever. Mashaba. Anything. I can't take the emptiness. And she's not like that. If her husband's nice to her, she's good. I'll call beside her. Ha'ismecha. I'll call beside her. But then you get the husband, the wife is nice, the wife is wonderful. It's a lo beseder. And she doesn't understand why. And you try to explain to a girl, guys have this inyan. She doesn't know, what do you mean this inyan? What's the inyan? The inyan is kedushas habris, is kashas. What we're learning, that's the inyan. So many times women have told me that, I know you talk a lot about how the guy should come to time on shul, and I can't get my husband up, and he doesn't, whatever, it's hard for him, and he doesn't know what to do, and I don't want my son to see that his father is like that, and was sitting in, and having his mom to learn, and whatever. And they're worried about their kids, to women, and they see that the husband, and they see it coming out, and in the kid. Again, mostly in the son, not as much in the daughter, but more in the boys. That comes out this inyan in the boys. And then you had many of the old generation. They were just the greatest people, but they were very limited in their ability to communicate to their children, to talk to their children, to make a kesha with the kids. They didn't know how to. They didn't know what to say. I was talking yesterday morning, Shabbos, about the Joshua, about such a person. He was a Nebuch Yassim. He had nothing in the world, and nobody ever spoke to him. I grew up in a generation where everybody that I knew, they were missing. Like, it wasn't just the years of the war. It was a chunk of their lives was gone, right? There's a piece missing from their lives. And then you bring them to America, you bring them to Eretz Yisrael, to London, to Paris, after the Melchama, and you say, okay, back on schedule, get married, live happily ever after. These are all damaged people. These are all damaged people. My wife was reading a book. She was talking to me about this book about a kid. He was in the Holocaust. He was by himself from the time that he was 7 years old, hiding all over Poland, this kid. How he survived, how this kid, a seven-year-old kid, he's like this unbelievable, this kid had unbelievable ingenuity of how he was hiding and doing stuff. How many kids were able to do that? And he wasn't a concentration camp. They didn't get him. He was all over the place, what he did, this kid. And he was able to speak, he had a mile, he was able to speak fluent Polish. He spoke Polish. And he looked a little bit not Jewish. So that obviously helped him a lot. But he was on his own. And now you take this kid, he ended up living in Eretz Yisrael. That's what my wife was reading. He made it through the Milchama, and he got to Eretz Yisrael. But then he had terrible, terrible sorrows in his life in Eretz Yisrael. That's just terrible problems, marriage and kids. Because that's not normal. That's not normal to be alone from the time that you're 7 to the time you're 18. That's really what it was. Because after the war, he was just in this orphanage and this place and that place. And he found some relative, and then the relative turned out to be nasty to him. And he was just dragging around the world, some little kid. So what's supposed to happen? So he has Chesed Gevurah Tiferes, this guy, unbelievable person. but hiskashus. So that time that my generation was being raised, with parents that came like into parenthood without themselves being children and being raised as children, it was an unbelievable struggle. And now it's in a different way. Now it's different. Now it's that Baruch Hashem, everybody, the parents, thank God that the kids have their parents, but the parents are distracted. So what's worse? At least he knew this kid, this Polish Jew, this little boy. He knew that when he was 6 or 7, that like my parents are dead. What's going on now is my parents are alive and well, but they're for all practical purposes they're dead. Because what do they have to do with me? My mother spends more time and more kaiches with her decorator than she does with me. My father's more time on his phone and with his partner or whatever it is, his business, more than with me. And it's not just a matter of the amount of time, but it's kashmirs. So the parents of our generation, thank God, are alive. We're not wandering around some miserable place in Poland, trying to figure out how we're going to get a piece of bread. Our kids have what to eat, to have a nice home, to have a comfortable bed, to have the pictures of their favorite rebbeim on the wall. Everything is good. But if their fathers are not in a place of kedushas habris and hiskashus, so when did you ever have a time that people are falling into so many addictions and becoming dependent on drugs and pornography? And it's total magefa. It's a total magefa. Every time I thought I heard the worst story, there's another story. I'm on the phone Erev Shabbos dealing with a situation with a father of a large family who is asking me, he has a problem because he doesn't know, he's in rehab in a place out west where Shabbos they were predicting 112. It was hot here yesterday, it was 112 in this place, and he's got to get to rehab. And the rehab is the closest hotel that he was able to be at is a 12-minute walk. He's a frum guy. It's a 12-minute walk to get to rehab. So he called me up to ask about what to do he was nervous about having something to drink and you're not allowed to carry. And these are the questions. So we're having a whole discussion. Like, what is this guy doing away from his family, his wife and kids, in 112 degrees someplace in the middle of nowhere in the desert at some rehab? What's he doing over there? Well, you know what he's doing over there. Because since he's 14 years old, he's completely, completely toivel in every schmutz in the world. And his wife threw him out. And she's giving him a last chance to get rehab, which they can't afford. So that's also, I got to now try to collect money. You understand? This is what it's all about. And it's going on all over the place. I'm a gaffer. But why? Nicest home, nicest wife, kids. Parnassus. His Parnassus is also now a huge mess. It's a huge mess. Everything's a mess. It's all the same sugya. But people don't want to think, they don't want to realize that. If your kid grows up seeing you as a person that you just don't get up. You're not there on time. You're not doing what you have to. You're unreliable. You're inconsistent. You live in a way that's without his kashrus, with friends, you're just like a. It's a very subtle thing, but the kids pick up on it. The kids pick up on it. Then we're talking about how do we fix this? It's a process. Kilkel habris is not something that happens overnight. This guy didn't just like all of a sudden. He messed up. It's not all of a sudden. It's a certain mahalach. There's a mahalach to it. And that's what we're talking about. He says, look, just the sweet will drop more. He says, Shemazom Kalpaya. Oh, Abra, Zebli Chachm is Yom Acha Yom, because of Nashi is Kashal, Zeb Keshram, so Misha Lo Kashal, Indian Zeb, Pekam, Beminis, and Sosh, and Yochel is Kashal, Dvorm, Bof, and Chazak. He can't be Miskashal to things Bof and Chazak. And Yochel Iraq is his koiches nafshel is seder echad chazak. He can't concentrate his koiches to a seder echad chazak, strong. Hamizboinin umistakel benatzad. Royo mavchin beyoyv yishyesh bedovazah. Now the person this is a great person. And he looks at this and he sees, this is nice, this is something which is beautiful. Liros ezen ne'imus v'atzilus sheral bochra avrecha oimen mispal kol yom v'yom bosom okum osos man. Try to count on your hand. A bochra ben hazmanim. Now we're holding ben hazman. A bochra ben hazmanim, you have Baruch Hashem, but a bochra ben, count. Ben hazmanim. That now that it's ben hazmanim, he still gets up at 7 o'clock to daven. Not at 9 o'clock, or later, or just lies in bed. Or it's ben hazmanim, he still sits down with a sefer and opens up a gemara, a specific time of the day. Try to find, on your hand you can count. You can count. Maybe eventually at some point they come around to it, but you can count them on your hand. Ben hazmanim, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Huh? Everybody would like to blame the school for everything. I put 70-80% on the parents and the rest on the school. Something like that. Every school is different and every family is different. But I don't like when I think now is the easiest thing to bash the schools for everything that's wrong with your kid. It's the easiest thing. This teacher, that teacher, the principal, the school. There are problems. We all know the problems. We talk about them all the time. But the easiest thing to bash the school. Mostly it has to do with the house. Most has to. How come you and I, all of us, we know chevra that were raised without any Yiddishkeit at all, right? Nothing. Totally fry. Parents were Machal Shabbos. But when that guy or that girl is strong in the midah of his kashrus, now that they became Balei Tshuva, however they became frum, to 120. They got the worst education. Every single teacher that they ever had told them that you should be Menayev and Mezanim. And all their teachers were Menayev and Mezanim. Every single one. And all they ever heard was Anthropology 1, Anthropology 2. Sociology 1, Sociology 2. All they ever heard was Chazetreif. And then this guy is till 120 Chatzadik. And then you take the other guy, he went to Bells and Bobov, and he went to Lakewood and Satmar and Gare, and he's in rehab. How did that happen? Education. Got a great education. The other one got no Yiddishkeit at all. Go back to the shows, go back to the beginning. And this is where it is. 99% of the time, it's the shows. So the school, there are problems with the school. Every school has problems. Mostly the great people are trying their hardest. But there are problems, there are limitations. There are problems. That's not the unique of a child, because when you see that Baal Tshuva, and then you go and you look into that Baal Tshuva's life. The education was anti-Yiddishkeit. But then I have seen over the years that when I get to know the parents of many of those Baalei Tshuva, the mom, the dad of those Baalei Tshuva, it's kashrus. Think about it. Think about some of the Baalei Tshuva that you know. It's kashrus. Good parents. Not religious parents. They weren't religious. That's not their fault. They don't know. They're not religious. But good relationship with the kid. Not always. But I see a lot of them. People who had a certain work ethic, certain hiskashas. Instead, they didn't grow up. They grew up going to work and putting in a full day of work, not going to daven, you know, quarter to ten in the shtiblo. Understand? Half a seder like this. You know, looking at your watch in the middle of the seder. Oh, I think my son has to go to the dentist, and if he doesn't, maybe he should go to the dentist. Seder. No, they didn't go like that. These parents who were not from the father, no chachmas, reliable people, strong people, and those who are not, the kids have the same problem. You know, then it doesn't work out that way. But you look back in the history, study the family history. They might not have been religious. In other words, they might have been missing all the other stuff, but they had strong yisod. Then it's just a matter of kids making their own choices in life. You know, you have your own bechiras. That kid chose to be from. But when that Baal Tshuva chooses to be from what I've seen to a large extent, the Baal Tshuva makes that choice to be from, you can count on him to come to Minyan. He'll be there. Rely on him for the 10 guys. Don't rely on the Frum guy for that. It sounds terrible. Rely on the Belchuk. He'll be there. So you could say, well, because, you know, he's new to it. It's exciting to him. It's, you know, it's fun. Yeah, but he's been doing this already 15 years. He seems to be pretty reliable. Why, he has bigger amunah than you have? No, you're also a mammon. He's not a bigger mammon than you. What about his education? No, he was taught this, all the years he went to school. He went to public school. He was taught chazetreif. And you went to yeshiva your whole life. So how come this guy is the one they count on for minyan? And me, they know that they can't depend on me. I'm going to be walking around the shiblach, you know, ashrei. How come? Why is that? It's not because of religion. It's not because of religion. You're both maminim. You're both wonderful. It's not because of religion. He didn't get religion when he was growing up at all. He was taught not to be religious. His kashrus. The mid of Yisod. And it's deeply connected to the to become a bris, the last part of this. So it's not a matter of, you could talk about anything when it comes to the chinuch. Marty, going back to what you're saying, what about the school? The school has no chayes to educate. The way I always looked at it is that I would like the school to give my kids the best possible education. And that's why I try to send them to good schools as much as I could. But I can't depend upon the school to make them into healthy human beings. I can't depend. It's my job that the Baruch Shalom sent to me. You can't depend on the school for that. You have to be very, very grateful. If your kid happened to meet up with a Rebbe that gets it, and the Rebbe is that hero, that's like a bonus. I never expected it. I never had tinnitus if it wasn't like that. I just felt that the school is a place to educate. Can the school also be a place to lift up and raise? Yes, it can be. And there are rebbeim and there are morris that do that, and I'm very grateful for them. They're the heroes of the Jewish people. There are many, many amongst them who cannot do that, and who are very limited in that way. And I try not to have tinnitus. Sometimes, you know, you get annoyed when there's something really, really crazy that happened in school. But for the most part, they're doing the best they can. They're good people. But it's our homes. That we have, our own homes, we have something of a bailus. That's our place. That's the home. You can't control the school. You have these people that they're screaming and yelling at. They go yelling at the principal every day. And in their own homes, there's a total mess. And you feel like telling them, why don't you fix up your own house before you're yelling at the principal and every board member you're calling up till 3 in the morning. What about your own house? You're the only member of the board over there. You're the chairman of the board. I don't know what. So why don't you take care of your own wife and kids before you're starting to yell at everybody? It's the same thing in every shul, in every yeshiva, in every school. It's the same thing. Cast of characters. It's the ikka inyan is within one's own dalat amos that you have control over. And there's nobody in the world that you and I have more control over than ourselves. That's the bottom line. There's no one that you and I have more control over than ourselves. And yisod means self-control. Self-control. And if you're a person that's disciplined and you have self-control and you have that malchus, then your malchus will be able to be mispashet with your children, students, wife, work. And the malchus is a malchus that's mispashet. If you have no control over yourself, then there's no malchus. There's no malchus at all. Not your wife, not your kids, not your employees. There's always no malchus. The ikkar is in one's own house, in one's own heart. That's where everything starts. And that's really where everything ends. Okay, so keep your stickies in the place, Mr. Shem. And we shall continue in good health, Mr. Shem. So.